All right, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 16. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. We're going to read through there responsively. I'll read the odd verses. You'll follow along and then read together with me on the even verses, beginning in verse 1 all the way through verse 13. In Luke chapter 16, the Bible says, "And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto thy Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generations wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." A very curious passage of Scripture. And there are some things in here that a lot of people will kind of debate about. You know, what does he mean by this and what does he mean by that? And why is God using an unjust steward as an example? Everybody... get the reflectors out. Why is he using us? Right? I mean, how many of us have perfectly managed what God has done for us? No. No, we haven't. How many of you have made some errors in your management of what God has entrusted to you? Oh, we all have. So, of course he's going to use an unjust steward to describe, because we're not perfect, folks. We make these miscalculations. We make these errors. We make these wrong choices. But we can get them right. Did the unjust steward make things right? Did he realize that, oh, whoops, I'm in trouble. I'm about to be fired here. I'm about to be gotten rid of as the steward because of my misdealings. I need to get this right so that when my Lord puts me out, I'll have somewhere to go. You see what he's saying? But it's about getting right. You see, we've got to understand that God doesn't care about what we did before. That's past already. You understand? He doesn't dwell on that. I heard a wonderful thing. We were able to go to a family conference. And, you know, it was said, it might have been yesterday at the youth rally. I think it was. I loved what the preacher said about it was yesterday. My days run together. I'm sorry, folks. You have to excuse my mind. But he said that, you know, don't live off the past. He said when you're burning wood, and the wood is used for its purpose, it's done, right? It causes fire, and then the ashes are left. If you don't get rid of the ashes of yesterday, it's going to quench the fire of today or tomorrow. Because if you let those ashes build up and build up and build up, there's not going to be any place for the fire to go. got to get rid of the old stuff. I mean, so the past is the past. If you're an unjust steward in the past, it's done with. We have today to look forward to, tomorrow to look forward to, and we've got to get it right. The master was actually pleased that he was commended, this unjust steward, because he had done wisely. That was the end of the story, if you will. He did what he did wisely. He took care of business. And listen, if you've learned something over these last several weeks about stewardship and just how God has orchestrated what we ought to do with our lives in their entirety, not just with your dollar bills, but with your minutes and seconds and with the abilities that God has afforded to you, your brain capacity, your physical capacity, whatever God has entrusted to you, we ought to use it according to His purpose. And if we weren't doing it before, we ought to start now. And get wise, if you will. This unjust steward heard about this as coming down the pipe, and the master himself talked to him. He said, you know what? I am resolved what to do. We all just ought to be resolved what to do, folks. We just need to. We've heard about these things. We've read the scriptures. We've put together the pieces of the principles of stewardship. Now we just need to be resolved what to do. God is the source of our treasure. God is the source of your treasure. You understand, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands, and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Everything's His, folks. We sing that little Sunday school song. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than man tongue can tell. He is my Father and they're mine as well. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I know that He will care for me. I'm a little bit of a show off, I guess. But my God is the source of my treasure. It's all His. Didn't Paul say, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory? They're not ours. He's the source of our treasure. In Haggai chapter 2, the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. It's His. It's all His. You say, what about all the nations and all the billionaires and all the... It's all His. You know, when God was talking to Solomon, and Solomon said, hey, all I want is to be able to judge your people. All I want is to be able to rightly discern how to lead and work with this people. God said, good. And I'm going to give you everything else that you didn't ask for. What did that include? Solomon is known in secular history as the wealthiest man ever. I mean, he was walking on gold. I mean, they had so much gold, they were just covering stuff with it. Just to do it. Just because they had it. And I'm not talking about the stuff that's that was a cool documentary. Everybody ever watched how they do the gold flake? You should. You look it up. It's really cool. I mean, they take those gold sheets and they beat it. I mean, it is super thin. I mean, it's really cool. Anyways, they didn't do that. I mean, they were taking like liquid gold and pouring it over stuff. I mean, just like, I mean, that's cool. I mean, you can imagine it's been kind of jested. I think it was on a Bugs Bunny cartoon I saw the other day. Granny was, Yosemite Sam was trying to get Granny. She had millions of dollars. She's sitting by the fireplace, right, with her knitting needles. Got bundles of $100 bills and she's throwing them in the fire to heat up the, you know. That's how rich he was. Y'all seen that one, right? Okay, anyway. He's the source of our treasure. He's the one that owns everything. Even Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease. Neither shall be any more hail. Why did God want to do this, and why did God want to show this to Pharaoh? That thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. It's all His. It's not ours. It belongs to Him. God is the source of our treasure. Whatever we possess, whatever material possessions we have, whatever amount of money we have in the bank, whatever amount of money we have in our pocket or in trusts or in IRAs or in investments and hedge funds or whatever else you got, whatever God has, whatever you have, if you say it's mine, it's not yours, it's His. He's the source of everything. That's a principle. And can I say today, we are talking about treasure, but this also pertains to our time and our talents. It's all His. If we can unlock our little mushy brains and just say, this is not mine. It's His. You know, God is the source of your life. God is the source of your abilities. God is the source of your finances, of your material possessions. God is the source of our treasure. In our parable that this story that Jesus was telling, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. The steward was not rich. Or if he was getting rich off the rich man, he was embezzling. That's a crime. You go to jail for that. It wasn't his. The materials, the oil and the grain and these things that he was calling and saying, he said, hey, this is not mine. He said, if I'm not a steward anymore in verse 3, I cannot dig, I cannot beg, and I'm ashamed. In other words, he didn't have anything. It was all the rich man's. The source of his treasure that he had watch over was not him, it was the rich man. If God were to take everything away from you, what would you have? Nothing. You know, Job knew his source of supply. And when it was all gone, he cursed God and died, right? Oh, no. Blessed be the name of the Lord, he said. He said, hey, I came into this world naked. I'm going to return naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, give it. The Lord, take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, hey, it's not mine. If God wants to give it, great. He wants to take it away. He says, shall I receive good and not receive evil? He said, listen, Job understood this principle. It wasn't his. It was God's. Likewise, in our stewardship, we must come to the knowledge of the fact that it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Him. God is the source of our treasure. Secondly, we need to realize that the Christian is the steward of his treasure. We're the steward. We are the manager. Are you a good manager, a just steward, or an unjust steward? Have you squandered some of what God has bestowed? Or all of what God has bestowed? Or none of what God has bestowed? Have you wasted it in riotous living? Remember that story? Huh? Hey, that story about those two boys. If you will, in a spiritual sense, they're both saved. And the one said, hey, give me my inheritance now. And he went off and he wasted it. You know, what are we doing with what God has entrusted us with? Are we investing it in internal pursuits or temporal things in this world that don't last? You know, one of the most depressing things is a garage sale. Come on now. How many of you have been there, right? In your front yard, got all those tables out there, right? And people are coming up. And this thing that you bought as seen on TV for $19.95 and, you know, free shipping and plus handling, and you get the second one if you just pay a separate fee. And you selling it for 50 cents. That's depressing. That's depressing. Or, if you've ever purchased a new vehicle, I mean, they tell us that the minute you drive it off that lot, there goes $5,000. Gone. I mean, if you were to drive it around the block, turn it back in and sell it as a used car, they'd knock that immediately off. Isn't that depressing? Boy, just look at inflation out there, right? It's just ridiculous. But we're supposed to be stewards of His treasure. What are you investing what God has given you in? Over in Luke chapter 12, the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom the Lord shall make ruler over His household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. You know, to whom much is given? Yeah. You know what God wants? He just wants us to be responsible. Is that so difficult? Shake your heads up and down. Yes, it is. You know, Brother Collins, you're telling us things that are easy to say and hard to do. I know. I know I am. But can I tell you something? All throughout Scripture, God wants us to be responsible with His treasure. Over in Genesis, we know that Abraham paid the tithe. That's told us in Scripture. We know Jacob continued it approximately 270 years before the law. We know that it was tithing should be done. And it should go to Jehovah God, our provider. Because that's where the tithe belongs. Over in Genesis chapter 28, in verse 10, it says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones that place and put them down for pillows and to lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed a dream and behold a ladder set up on earth and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold the angels of God descending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land where thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. And for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place, and this is none other than the house of God, even the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had for his pillows and set up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow and saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, then I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. That would be enough, wouldn't it? A remembrance of all the things that this vision that he had, and that God had done these things. But look what he tacks on the end here. He says, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, let me ask you a question. As you kind of listen to me read here, in these verses, beginning in verse 10, did that have anything to do with tithing? Well, did God mention that? Was that mentioned anywhere? It was about blessing him, right? And he said, hey, I'm going to bless the earth with your seed and the families of your life and all these things. And I'm going to be with you and I'm going to make this happen and you're going to inherit these things. And did God say anything about giving anything back? No. But Jacob said, I will give the tenth unto thee. Amazing. It's a principle. Where did he get that from? Abraham and Isaac. God instituted it. Moses incorporated it into the law as he gave the commands, and God gave the commands to the people of Israel. We know in Malachi, we've read many times about how that we're supposed to bring the tithes into the storehouse, and wherein have you robbed God in the tithes and offerings? You say, oh, that's all Old Testament. That's that Old Testament giving. We're not supposed to do that anymore. We've been freed from that by Jesus Christ. No. No, we haven't. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 17. Matthew 5 and 17. He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Aren't we supposed to keep the tithe? Yes. Aren't we supposed to keep doing the things that we ought to do because we're his workmanship? Created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. Good works are not void because of grace. That's what this modern religious crowd wants you to think. Oh, brother, it's okay if I have an occasional sip of alcohol because I'm under grace. Or we can tell a little white lie. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that because we're under grace. Well, can I quote Paul? Shall we continue to sin that grace would abound? God forbid. No. We're supposed to give the tithe. Jesus taught it. The Apostle Paul, he explained it to the Corinthian church. He said, hey, look, we're just supposed to give our tithes and our offerings. The early church practiced it. Hey, they did more than that, didn't they? They started selling big chunks of land and whatever they had and giving it to and sharing it amongst themselves. You understand that God wants us to be givers. Didn't he say, give and it shall be given unto you? Right? Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom? For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In our story about the unjust steward, he said that he was wise. And he goes on to explain. He says, hey, listen, if you're going to be unfaithful with these, who's going to trust you with the true riches? You say it's kind of a test? Kind of. It's a proving ground. You say, well, why don't I have more? Maybe God can't trust you with what you got. Just a possibility. Listen, we're supposed to be a good steward of His treasure. Don't forget, He's the source of our treasure. And we ought to be a good steward, not an unjust steward, not an unwise steward, but it is supposed to be as a good steward, like it says in Luke 12. Because when that servant, whom is Lord, when he shall come, shall find so doing, of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Remember the story in Matthew 25. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We're supposed to be a good steward. This steward in our story was commended. Even though he had made some mistakes. Even though he had been unjust and perhaps improper in his accounting of the rich man's belongings. He changed all of that. And he went and made things right. And the rich man commended him. He said, hey, you did well, unjust steward, because you have done wisely. We ought to do what we ought to do with what God has given to us. It should be a principle. It should be how we go about doing things in our lives. You say, all right, I get this. I understand this. In this parable, it says that the people of this world know what to do with the riches of this world. And we're kind of unwise in those areas. Does it not say that? But you know what? We don't have to be. You know what we have to do to be able to be a good steward? Understand God's economy. If you want to keep it, what do? Give it away. You say, that's backwards. Yes. Yes, it's backwards. If you want to receive, what are you supposed to do? Give. God's economy doesn't work like our economy works. You know what the world's philosophy is? Get all you can all you get, sit on the can and spoil the rest, because if I can't have it, neither can you. That's what the world says. You know what God says? Give. Give. Give of your time. Give of your talents. Give of your treasure. Be a giver. Be a conduit. A channel of blessing. Just let it flow. Hey, you ever see what happens to something when there's so much being forced through a conduit? What happens? Some of it leaks out. Right? Hey, I want so much of God's blessings to flow through me that, you know, some of it's going to leak out in my life. That's okay. I love it when our families of our church are able to get a new home or a new vehicle or do this or do that or go on a vacation. That's fantastic, because that just means that God's blessings are just kind of flowing out of that conduit, dropping off into our lives. What a joy. Are you going to find, or is God going to find you so doing as a good steward? Or is he going to have to say, like he did in this story, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest
be no longer steward.
This man wasn't being fired on the spot. He just said, hey, there's a possibility. I'm going to have to take away your position. Are you in danger of losing your job as steward of his treasure? I hope not. I know I don't want to be. I want to be a good steward. I don't want him to say, thou wicked and slothful servant. I don't want him to say, hey, why is it that I hear this of you, that you're not managing things wisely for me? If it's all his, and my life is here to honor him, shouldn't I do what I should do with it and be wise? Thirdly today, not only is God the source of our treasure, and the Christian is a steward of his treasure, the church is the storehouse of his treasure. Take your Bibles and turn to Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book of the New Testament. I like to call it Malachi. That's how I spell it. Book of Malachi, chapter 3. Look at verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. So what is he saying? I gave a way to live, a way to do things, and you're not doing it by the book. You're not following my ordinances. So what is he saying? Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. You say, what does that mean? Well, we have this story of the unjust steward. Right? How is it that I heard of thee that you're not doing wise things with my money? With my possessions? Give an account of thyself. He said, hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make this right. And did he? Yes. Did he commend the unjust steward? Yes, he did, because he said you were wise. He got a commendation for changing his ways. Similarly here, it says, hey, you haven't kept these things. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour out you a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. The local church is the storehouse to where the tithes are to be brought. God's house, God's place. In Deuteronomy 26, and it says, and it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and shall set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. You see, but I want to give my money to the televangelist on TV, so he can send me a prayer hanky, and all my worries will be gone. No, we're supposed to bring our tithes into the place where God puts his name. You know where that is for us today? Right here? You know, this is not my church. This is not your church. It's his church. We're bought with a price. Well, by the way, everything's his anyways, including the church. We're supposed to bring our tithes into the storehouse.
The local church. Supposed to accomplish the work of the Lord with the tithes of God's people. Who are good stewards and just stewards. And are doing that which they should be doing. And that when He come, He shall find us so doing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth us through thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, not only supplieth we the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Do we want blessings in our life or not? Do we want God to abound? Do we want this city of Wiley and surrounding area to know our God and to see our God in us and through us? Then we ought to be a good steward. Not only of our time, not only of our talents, but also our treasure. If you just kind of do the math, a tenth is not that much. It's really not. So then why does God ask us for a tenth? Why doesn't he ask us for 50%? There's a statement, little as much when God is in it. Song we sing in our hymn book. Hey, didn't God take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000? Hasn't God throughout history worked with a small remnant of people? You know what God likes? God likes little things. Sorry, Ethan. He does, doesn't he? You know why? Because he wants to be seen mighty when we're weak. He wants to do mighty things with a little bit. Why? So that they can marvel and amaze and praise and glorify God, not us. We just need to be a good steward. A good steward.